Okay. So, the first question for both of you then is, what was it like to be a Brave Ambassador?
Okay. Being a Brave Ambassador for me was an experience that I was not expecting to be as impactful as it was. I found myself, before being an ambassador, not really considering the brave acts that I was doing as brave. And once I became an ambassador, I started to recognize those little things that I was doing every day as something, as more of an accomplishment, I guess. And it was really exciting to share those stories. Sometimes you had to be brave to share the stories of courage that you had, like those moments of courage. But at the same time, I found it to be really, for lack of a better way to phrase it, life-changing in the sense that you start to see yourself in a different light.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. No, yeah, I, like, Ellie kind of put it perfectly into words, but it's just, like, eye-opening to really look at, like, the big things and the little things. Like, I've experienced so many different situations and been thrown into different things, and then just even stuff that happened to me in the past that I kind of overlooked the whole process of moving forward from them. I didn't realize how much it took within me to really move and work past those things, and yeah, so just kind of realizing the bravery that I actually did have, and then also it made me think a lot more about my present self and think about the little things that I was experiencing at the time and how I could use bravery to work through the things that I was going through right then. And so I think it was a realization thing where it affirmed the fact that, you know, I had accomplished a lot. And there are times I feel like, especially when you're in your 20s or getting out of high school, where you're like, I have no idea where my life is going. I don't feel like I've accomplished anything. I don't know where my path is. And I think it kind of made me realize that, you know, I have gone through and I've accomplished a lot, and that you need to recognize the big and the small things. And then also the courage and the bravery that it took to write about the things and to share things that put you in a vulnerable position, and things that people might not know about that I definitely guarded because I wanted to be seen as someone that, you know, it's easier to be seen as someone who maybe hasn't gone through struggles like that, but I think being able to show those sides of me has made people realize, you know, like, I am the way I am for a reason, and I've become this person through a long process, too, and so I think it helped me to be brave enough to share things that I've wanted to for a long time.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it was really incredible for me just to receive your posts every time and see how vulnerable you were both being. It was amazing, especially with the one you wrote about your dad on. It was just like, I talked to people who read that blog and they said they were tearing up, and it was hard to actually get through it just because of how honest and forthcoming you were with that. And I was impressed by both of you, what you were willing to share about your journeys and the fears that you had. And with that, I would be curious to know, did you experience any fear or have any real nerves that were kind of eating away at you, or when you were writing your blog, or after you saw them posted, when you saw the comments that were coming up from them? What did you think?
I definitely experienced a lot of fear and nerves when I'd be writing something or knowing that it was about to be posted, one of those blogs. I think a lot of it came from, kind of as we were discussing earlier, as Autumn was saying, you want to put off this really great image of yourself. And I mean, who doesn't want to?
Right.
And to admit that you are facing struggles or that you have faced something in your past is really, you feel like it puts a damper on your image.
Right.
And so admitting that you're needing help or that you have asked for help in the past or that you have faced a really dark time can sometimes be terrifying in itself.
Right.
You know, almost just as terrifying as facing that dark struggle or that dark time. And I think a lot of my nerves came from, what are other people going to think of this? What am I saying the right thing? And even just beyond that, when I my most recent blog when I was talking about my struggles, like my more recent struggles with mental illness, mm-hmm. I was thinking, how are other people who are facing mental illness, how are they going to see this? Right. You know, mm-hmm. are they going to think this is an accurate reflection of how they feel? If I'm going to try to put my voice out there, I'm mm-hmm. hoping that I reflect their struggles as well. Mm-hmm. So there was kind of that fear alongside of it. But I think in the end, it was a lot more rewarding because it would be terrifying, like pressing that send on the email and then getting the Facebook notification that it was up. It was like, oh no, how many people have commented on this? But in the end, the feedback that you'd get would be so rewarding and mm-hmm. so supportive. And it was just like, it was overwhelming, you know? So mm-hmm. yeah. in the end, it all worked out. But yeah, it was definitely scary admitting right. a lot of the things that you were writing in your blogs.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. I think there was fear and a little bit of anxiety, like, going in, like, writing things. Originally, there's things that people do know about me, and there's things that people don't, and mm-hmm. I kind of had the choice of I could write about the things that people already have an idea yeah. about, or I could write about things that I am even still trying to process, mm-hmm. and I think a way of really working through things is talking about them and sharing them, and so... Mm-hmm. I definitely had fear, especially with the blog about my dad. You know, people didn't really have any idea mm-hmm. what that situation was. And, I mean, what if my dad read it? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I didn't know who was going to share it and mm-hmm. who was going to see it. And so there was a lot of anxiety going in. And, you know, just being vulnerable, it's scary because, again, like, you do want people to look at you as a strong person, and but everyone goes through those things. They're not the same necessarily, but everyone goes through things, mm-hmm. and so I think it's important to show people that, you know, being strong sometimes means being vulnerable or Absolutely. Being weak, mm-hmm. and so I think it was definitely scary at the time, and I remember every time my blogs were posted, I would be checking Facebook constantly, seeing who looked at it,
yep.
seeing who liked it, seeing who commented on it. But again, yeah. like, everything was so supportive and yeah. affirming, and I would get messages mm-hmm. from people, you know, saying, like, this helped me, or this, you mm-hmm. know, this really affected me. And even my sisters, like, reading them and mm-hmm. saying, like, wow, like, it was cool to be able to get a glimpse of the experience behind your face, you know yeah. what I mean, like yeah. in your mind, and to be able to feel the emotions that you felt, even just in the slightest way. And so yeah. I think it was overall a lot more rewarding than it was scary, but it mm-hmm. definitely was putting yourself in a vulnerable position that I've never had the opportunity to do before, but it was very rewarding.
Good. I can identify with what both of you are saying, because there are times when I posted blogs of my own and I almost forget what I'm doing when I put it on Facebook. Like, it mm-hmm. just seems like this instinct of, okay, yeah. it's written, I post it, now it goes here, so it gets out to the world. But mm-hmm. I forget that there are eyes that are reading it.
yeah.
And
yeah.
that when I post it, people are probably going to open it. And mm-hmm. so it always surprises me when I'll run into someone and say, you know, that blog was great. You are such a great writer. It was powerful. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wait, you actually read that story?
Yeah.
yeah. Exactly.
That means you know things now?
Right. Oh. Yeah. yeah.
Okay.
Like, people from school that I hadn't talked
exactly.
to.
Exactly. No, and my dad's
like,
friends.
You read that. Okay, got it. That's good. So
yeah,
we're on another yeah. level now.
Yeah. Exactly. yeah, exactly. It'd be my guy friends, too. And that's when I'd be most surprised. I was like, wait, you're a dude who went on this Brave Like Me, like, girl website and read my... Okay, okay. Well, you just saw the inner workings of my mind, so there we
yeah.
go. You know?
Right? Yeah, yeah. 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 It's so funny to hear you say... Not funny, excuse me, I shouldn't say that. It's really moving for you to say that you had anxiety around talking about mental health. Because so often the same anxiety that we're trying to share with people is the anxiety that's going to try and stop us from mm-hmm. doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's this cycle that's constantly nagging at us of like, well, I really want to help people, but what if I'm not there? What if what I'm saying is wrong? What if it's
yeah.
like, there's always something that's trying to stop us, and it is choosing to be brave, to be like,
right.
this is my experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be brave and get help, and if this is not identifying with you, that's fine. But that's your experience.
Right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean mine is insignificant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just being brave enough to know that. Okay. So the next question. Has your brave grown at all since this whole experience?
Most definitely. I definitely have found myself finding the little things that I do as brave. Mm-hmm. And even if those things haven't changed as time has gone on, just recognizing the courage it took to one day get out of bed. Yep. You know, one day put on clothes other than sweatpants. Like, you know, mm-hmm. just realizing that those things are sometimes that's being brave in itself. Yes. You know? Mm-hmm. And so maybe saying that my brave has, like, grown isn't exactly the right way to phrase it. Mm-hmm. I would say more as being recognized, yeah. you know? And mm-hmm. there are times, though, where I'm like, I'm going to be brave. I'm going to go do this adventurous thing on a mm-hmm. bluff or something like that. But yeah. it's definitely more the little things is recognizing them
yeah.
and mm-hmm. seeing the everyday things I do as taking courage and being brave.
Right.
Absolutely.
I agree. I don't want to be that person, but... I think in both situations, both recognizing it and then also, like, pushing myself to do things that I might not have otherwise done, I think part of that was also recognizing it, too, and seeing that, you know, this is brave and this, like, doing this and mm-hmm. being this or, you know, going out of my way to share something or talk to someone that I might not have talked to mm-hmm. before, mm-hmm. just... even, like, allowing myself to be myself,
yeah,
I think, has been one of the biggest things, and just not being scared to be myself and to show people who I am, I think that's another big thing, because once I got over that hurdle of, you know, people actually understanding where I've come from and
yeah.
the things that I've gone through, I think that, that gave me the bravery to be able to use what I've actually learned from my experiences and, like, been able to show that more. So I think I would say, like, I've recognized my small acts of bravery more, and I've recognized both, like, past and new ones, and then I've also been able to use that as a little motivation to mm-hmm. do more brave things.
Definitely.
Too.
And I think a powerful part of being brave is the way you talk to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are times when I have had the opportunity to be brave and I chose not to.
Yep.
And so how do you talk to yourself and what do you say in those moments? Because it's so common to start beating ourselves up and mm-hmm. being like, oh, God, I should have done that. I regret this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back and redo it. Like, what am I going to do to fix this kind of a thing? But how do you choose to talk to yourself in those moments?
I think with me, it's, I have a lot of those moments.
Yeah.
I have a lot of those days, and that's kind of where my battle with mental illness started, was
mm-hmm.
the regrets and the worries and
mm-hmm.
the beating myself up. One way that I've found to, like, get through it, and it really did help going through this process and recognizing past brave things I've done, is looking back at those courageous moments and saying, I got through that,
mm-hmm.
I can get through this,
yeah,
type of thing. And if I hadn't really, if I hadn't become an ambassador and looked back on transferring schools as being brave,
yeah.
or moving as being brave,
mm-hmm.
or adopting
mm-hmm.
a dog, you
yeah.
know, and making those life decisions, or even just, like, the smaller ones where it's, like, that really bad day where I decided I was going to go out and I was going to take my dog on a walk and I was going to face the world, you know.
Yeah.
Just seeing those and saying, I got through those moments, I can get through this
yeah.
type of thing. And eventually, when you keep telling yourself that, you do get through it. And before you know it, the day is done and you're like, wow, I'm still alive. You know, here I am.
I made
and you
it,
just
yeah.
add that to your list of things that you can go back and look and say, hey, I made it through that too.
Mm-hmm.
So... that's one of the ways, I guess, I kind of cope with those negative thoughts and the pessimism that comes
yeah.
from living in today's world.
Definitely.
Yeah, honestly, like, pep talks, like, in my own head,
mm-hmm.
like, it sounds, like, honestly, you see it and you're like, oh my gosh, that's so funny, but, like, you actually do it. Like,
yeah.
Even, like, subconsciously, like, little things and big things, like, okay, Autumn, like, you haven't worked out in a few months, but you're going to go to Zumba, and, like, you're going to be sore, and that's okay, like,
yep.
But seriously, like, I think there are a lot of times where initially I'll have those negative voices coming in my head.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a internal battle a little bit, just going back and forth and trying to override those things with reasons why it will help me to be brave and reasons that it will help me to move forward by doing the right thing or doing the thing that might be a little bit harder at the time. But honestly, like, self-love and talking to yourself positively and, like, reminding yourself that, you know, you're worth, like, going the extra mile.
Absolutely.
And you're worth trying something new, because I think it's been, I've realized that looking back at past things and things that I've had to kind of put myself out there to do, it's been the most accomplishing things that I've done in my life, and so it's helped me to, in those little self-pep talks, just remind myself, you know, like, you'll never know what's going to come out of this until you do it. And so honestly, I think that's kind of, for me, what it's been, is just reminding myself, you know, you've come this far and you've done all of this, and you want to be able to face those new experiences, so you have to allow yourself to.
Definitely. Okay, so this one's hard, because I would have struggled to do it even, but in the most succinct way, what does brave mean to you? I know, it's hard, I know. It's a big question, and there's no simple answer to it, but what do you think?
That is a really hard question. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. I think brave to me, I'm going to take it back to something that I just heard this past week from someone who approached me about some of the blogs that I have written and wanted to talk to me about them.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, there is power in being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think brave, there's so many other definitions, but the one that speaks most to me is admitting to your vulnerability and then, like,
owning it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, owning it. Mm-hmm. And just taking control of it and saying, this is who I am, this is what I'm afraid of, but I'm gonna move past those fears anyways and keep moving forward. So I think that's kind of how I would define it, and in the moments where I felt weak and felt the need to be brave, that's kind of the definition that stuck with me.
That's
yeah. I think my definition of bravery has changed a lot over like the past year or so, because I think that a lot of people think of it as something so big. And even at school, we had a convention, and they were talking about, you know, like, why was this person recognized for his bravery when he did something so small? And I was like, and in our discussion, I said, you know, why shouldn't people be recognized for something so small? And I think it's, bravery is more like allowing yourself to be yourself and not letting things hold you back from doing the things that you really do want to do, because I think in all of our situations, that's what it's been, is we've done things that we actually wanted to, but it took bravery to do them and actually follow through and actually commit to the things that we wanted in life. And so I think it's doing the things that we want and not letting people or things or fears or whatever it is hold us back from being the person that we want to be or doing the things we want to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so I think lots of girls see brave in the way that you just explained. It's this big thing that you do and it changes your life, or it launches this massive career or something big. So what advice do you have for young women on being brave after everything you guys have written about this semester and everything you've experienced? What advice do you have?
I think if I could say anything to young girls who are, like, looking to be brave, it's more of looking at life in the sense of, what do you have to lose? And in the end, if you put it in the grand scheme of things, you go, oh, if I do this, I'm taking this risk, and yeah, it's going to be kind of scary, but in the end, all I can really get from it is a reward or an experience that's going to help me in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of putting things in the big picture and saying, like, if I do this, is it like, what's the worst that could happen? I think that that has gotten me through a lot of situations. Going into talk to a professor or even just talking to a friend, it's, okay, what's the worst that's going to happen? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's really not that bad. Mm-hmm. You know, and finding little things like positive self-talk and looking at your past experiences of being brave and saying, I got through that, I can get through this, mm-hmm. and just really being, talking to yourself like you would talk to a friend.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. encourage yourself and support others while you're at it.
Definitely. I think advice that I would give is to allow yourself to be proud of yourself for what you've done. Because I think that's one of my biggest things, is I wouldn't allow myself to feel good about the things that I had done. Mm-hmm. I always focused on the negative aspects of things, or, you know, like, yeah, I did this, but I also, you know, it took this mm-hmm. to do that. And I think what this experience as a Brave Ambassador has helped me to do is to recognize and be proud of the things that I have done, because that's given me the motivation mm-hmm. to continue to do those types of things in my life. And mm-hmm. so I think just allowing yourself to say, you know, that was really brave. That yeah. was really amazing. That mm-hmm. was really strong. Like, you did do great on that test. Like, mm-hmm. you know, just little things and self-affirmations and just, you know, being proud of yourself for the person that you are, instead of always striving to be something else or something more, mm-hmm. and just recognizing, like, you are amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
just the way you are, and you have a choice every day to continue right. to do those things. Right. And so I think that's been one of the biggest things for me is sometimes with the help of other people, you'll finally realize, you know, you do have to be proud of yourself, because every person is amazing in their right. own way, and you have to be able to recognize that to really be able to use the gifts that you've been given
absolutely
in the way that they are supposed to be used. So.
Yeah. You know, what you were saying, Ellie, it reminds me of my first semester, so fall semester of this year. I am a perfectionist, which didn't really occur to me until this year of how bad it is, but I had a total anxiety attack at the end of the semester. I was just so overwhelmed with everything, and I was on the phone with my mom sobbing, mm-hmm. and she said, what's the worst that can happen? You're going to be embarrassed for 30 seconds in class if you don't get everything done. You can survive that.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fine. You'll get past it. You do not have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I think we put so much pressure on ourselves to be that, which I identified with so many of your blogs because of that, mm-hmm. and the mental health struggle and finding a way to be okay with good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I found, I struggled this semester, but I got it, found a way to get there, and it helped mm-hmm. so much. Yeah. So, my next question then is, what inspires you to be brave?
Ooh.
I don't
know. For a while, I think I really looked to other people, and I've always been one, and my sisters will always say this, to, like, really admire people and, like, put them on a pedestal yeah. and be like, wow, they're so amazing. And my sisters are like, why are you so obsessed with them? You know, like, something like that. And for a while, it was other people and, like, wanting to be more like others. And as I've grown older, though, I think finding myself doing things that I was afraid to do and the confidence I gained from it and that, like, happy feeling you mm-hmm. get from accomplishing something,
mm-hmm.
it's the rewarding rewarding feeling that you get from doing something brave
mm-hmm.
that I strive for now.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. rather than going, oh, I want to be more like someone else and be more like they're brave and
mm-hmm.
do those things they're accomplishing, it's become more like internal and saying like, wow, I felt really good when I did that
right.
and mm-hmm. now I want to do more things that will make me
yeah,
feel that way.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I can totally identify with that, too. I always wanted to make everyone else happy, and so I think that's why I did half the things that I did ever. Was, you know, it was either for my mom or for my sisters or for my friends mm-hmm. or for someone. It was always done for someone else, and so I think growing as I've gotten older and as I've went through things, and I've realized that sometimes it's about being selfish and doing things for yourself. Mm-hmm. It's made me realize that I think I'm actually inspired by my journey a little bit, and I motivate myself by looking back and saying, you know, I've done this, what else, what am I going to be able to do, right. You know, in the rest of my life. I've lived 21 years and I have so much more time, like, what am I going to be able to accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been able to look at myself, and that inspires me,
mm-hmm.
like, okay, I've come this far, you know, what else am I going to be able to do? Like,
right.
what more can I do? How can I use
mm-hmm.
My own experiences to do more or
right.
be more, or just, like, the expectations I have for myself, not in, like, a bad way, though,
mm-hmm.
in a good way. You know, like, I want to change the world, you know,
yeah.
like, that's what I've always wanted to do, is
yeah.
I want to be able to, like, affect people, and so I think, just in the smallest way, touching people through your words,
mm-hmm.
That's inspired me to be able to go talk to people, or,
yeah.
you know, go do something at school,
yeah.
and, like, go into my psychology class and talk about, you know, when we study eating disorders, like, no, it's not about counting calories all the time.
Yeah.
It's not about this or that, or
mm-hmm.
wanting to be skinny. It's a mental illness. It's
mm-hmm.
it's a mental disease. And I think looking at things that I've experienced, I want to be able to inspire myself to do more all
mm-hmm.
the time. And so I think that's, I mean, people around me still do, in a way. I look at people and I say, like, look what they've been able to do with their life, and
mm-hmm.
to be able to help other people, like, I want to do that.
Right.
And I want to be able to live up to my full potential. And so I think, in a way, like, my journey
Good.
Has inspired me, and then also other people too.
Good. And I have to pick out one point that you mentioned in being selfish,
mm-hmm.
and that so often girls and women were socialized to care about what everybody else thinks.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Their opinion is our approval. So when everybody likes us and we're making everybody else happy, then we've reached our potential. That's
right.
our worth.
Mm-hmm.
And we start to believe that when we care about ourselves, it's being selfish.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the opposite. And that
right.
if you're not caring for yourself, if you're not making yourself as much of a whole person as you can be and seeing yourself that way, everything else is going to suffer.
Right.
Because
mm-hmm. you can't have a strong relationship if you don't know who you are, if you don't believe in that person, and if you don't see the inherent value and just knowing that because you exist, you're enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Selfish is seen as like
mm-hmm.
a dirty word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not.
But it's not. No, you have to take care of the self in order to give back to the others as
mm-hmm.
well. So how do you manage the pressure to be perfect?
Not well. I'll just put it, I'm just gonna say it. I have, as most people know, I have two older sisters, and having them, and I'm sure Autumn, you can relate with older siblings too, you put them on a pedestal, and that's the beginning of it all. You know, seeing them as so wonderful and always looking up to them. And I mean, there are times where you get in fights, but most of the time you still see them as like, oh, they're so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And constantly wanting to live up to the expectations that you think your sisters have put forth for you, or just then it kind of becomes everyone. You know, it's not just your sisters, it's the people you see in magazines, and it's the people you see in social media,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. And going through high school, I had people tell me, they're like, oh, your life just seems so perfect, when behind the scenes I had checklists miles long, you know, and I was running around like a crazy person, always wondering what my next move was going to be, never taking time to really think about how I was doing,
mm-hmm.
more just like, these are the things I have to get done, these are the people I have to satisfy, and I'm going to
mm-hmm.
do the perfect way of handling all those situations. And as I got to college and started to realize, like, oh, I'm not in high school anymore, people don't see me like that,
mm-hmm.
I kind of crumbled, because I was
mm-hmm.
like, oh, I don't know, these people don't think I'm perfect. Like,
mm-hmm.
how am I going to make myself perfect,
mm-hmm.
and how am I going to portray myself that way?
Wow.
And as time kind of went on, it was really bad for me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, trying to think of it and
push yourself to be something that's completely unattainable.
Right.
So once I went to lacrosse, things started kind of getting better, but it was also, I was in an environment where I was used to the people in the Midwestern atmosphere and kind of knew how I could make myself look as good as possible. Mm-hmm. So then as time went on there and through this past year of school, I still was kind of crumbling under that pressure to be perfect, and my grades weren't the 4.0 I had from general education courses my freshman year, and it was just, it was really hard on me. And I remember I woke up one morning and I went to a coffee shop and I wrote about it and ended up using it as one of the blogs, and kind of just had to sit there and reflect and go, okay, it's okay not to have the perfect 4.0. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay that my room isn't spotless right now. And just kind of going through those steps of assuring myself, it's something I'm still battling, but just like telling myself, okay, it's okay to not be perfect. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'm still battling it, so I wish I could give better advice to everyone out there, but as of right now, it's just starting with the okay, take a step back, look at your situation. It's okay to not have it be 100% right now. Mm-hmm. I'm only 20 years old. I don't need to have it 100% all the time. So
you never need to have it 100%.
Yeah.
That's just unreasonable.
Yeah. At every age. But
yeah,
I think it's something that as you grow, you just have to keep finding that strength to tell yourself, you don't need the world to think you're perfect. And I think writing these blogs and admitting my struggles and admitting my imperfections has really helped me cope with the fact that, hey, look, I still have friends even after I said all that, you know, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's hard to even say, how do I handle the pressure? Because I think it's, literally you wake up every day and that's what you're facing, you know? Yeah. I can identify so much with both of your blogs about that feeling where you need to put off this this perfect persona you want. I've always wanted to be looked up to by people, and you feel like you do need to be perfect to be able to have people view you as you know, something. You want to be put up on a pedestal. You want people to look up to you. And so I think for me, every day is just looking at it and realizing that I need to let go, and let go of that image that I feel is perfect. And I think one of my favorite quotes, actually, by Demi Lovato is, "Love is greater than the pressure to be perfect." Mm-hmm. And I think that's so, and it's about self-love too. Mm-hmm. You know, loving yourself is so much more important than pressuring yourself to be someone, this perfect person, because we weren't created to be perfect. We weren't, the human is not designed to be perfect. We don't live in a society where it's impossible to be perfect. And so putting that pressure on yourself to try and reach something that's literally not even possible, it just puts this stress and strain on yourself, and you're not going to be able to accomplish the things that you are, because you're putting this pressure on yourself that that tears you down, and it pulls you down, and it takes you away from all the positive things. And so I think for me it's a daily battle, you know, at school I would go in for an exam, and if I didn't come out feeling like I 100% knew I killed it, my whole day would be ruined, you know. I would go and lay in my bed, and I'd think, I should have done this. Right. I should have done this. I should have studied longer. I should have done this. I should have went to the second study session. And, I always tear myself up. And so I think it's a process, really learning how to cope with, the little things every single day, and learn to talk to yourself and say, it's okay. You did the best that you could. You did exactly as you were supposed to. You know, everything happens so that something else will happen, and it's it's a spiral effect, and so I think if you're putting in the effort that that you feel is necessary to accomplish things, I think that's all you can really do. But I think for me, it's been letting go of that image and letting go of the pressure mm-hmm. to be perfect, because I know that I never will be, and that's
right.
okay.
Right.
I'm perfectly myself.
Yep.
And so I think that's the biggest thing. But I think everyone struggles with that in different ways, and so it's all about just learning how to cope with things in your own way rather than looking for other people's
definitely
ways of doing
mm-hmm.
so.
Yeah. You both spoke to the idea of putting someone on a pedestal and being looked up to, and personally, I know that that's something that has been I know that girls have looked up to me for a long time. I've gotten the feedback.
Mm-hmm.
But putting that pressure on yourself is what makes it so hard, because
right.
I think mm-hmm. when we try to be perfect and we think that we have to be, you're the one putting that pressure on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, people have so much more respect for people who are just real.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
if you're just willing to say, like, yeah, my life looks great, but I'm really struggling with, I'm doing well in school, I'm struggling with managing it all, I can't get it all done in one day, and I know that, and I'm trying to be okay with that, and just being
mm-hmm.
real about it. And then what you were saying about being in a society where perfect isn't possible,
mm-hmm.
we live in a society that literally capitalizes on
right.
our insecurities.
Yeah.
They make money off of making us feel bad about ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how it works. And so being smart enough to catch that and see that can change things as long as you say, like, okay, you know what? The fact that my legs aren't shaved today, whatever.
Yeah.
Or ever.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Shaved ever.
The fact that my hair doesn't look perfectly in a bun or whatever, like, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually need the makeup to cover up the acne that I've got. Like,
right.
yeah.
it's an insecurity that was handed to me. It didn't actually come from
yeah.
me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just seeing that. And so, what's your next brave move? Big or small? What do you got? Do you have any plans? Do you have any goals?
As of right now, my next brave move is deciding what I want to do with my life.
Actually, will you talk a little bit about that? I mean, I know we spoke a bit about it earlier, but will you just talk about finding out that your plan isn't... the original plan you have is not turning out to be what you expected it to be.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So, it all goes back to leaving high school. I had my next 4 years planned out at Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee. I was going to go pre-physical therapy. I was going to become a physical therapist. Probably go to grad school in North Carolina somewhere. Like, I had it all planned.
You had the next, like, 8 years done.
Yeah, basically. I thought my life was set. Then, summer didn't go according to plan. Then I left for Nashville. That didn't go according to plan. And I'm going, oh, crap. You know, and you're sitting there going, okay, so my plan, it's non-existent. And making the decision to transfer, I never really, everyone always told me that was a brave thing, but I didn't see it that way until I reflected on it more recently. And then when I transferred and had to kind of reconsider everything, I was like, wow, this is a lot of decisions to make. I don't have it planned out. That caused a lot of anxiety and
mm-hmm.
fear.
Mm-hmm.
So then I chose to pursue physics and biomedical engineering, and while it was really fun to tell people that and watch them all go, oh my gosh, you must be really smart. Like, that was exciting for the year that it lasted.
You are very smart. You don't need a major.
Well, thanks, Gabby.
Uh-huh.
So I went on pursuing that, and it all started realizing that wasn't the career for me, was when I got this internship on campus that people said I should be really excited about. And I was, and I went into it, and I was like, wow, this isn't all that fascinating. And I was like, oh, this is just because this is the beginning of it. You know, it'll get more interesting. And then my classes all of a sudden started becoming harder, and I had less motivation to do them because I was like, I'm actually not all that interested in this.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I talked to people, the more I realized that was probably not the correct career path for me. And I went, wow, I'm going to be going into my third year of college, and I don't know what I want to do yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, once again, terrifying. So now I'm kind of at this point where I'm undeclared, but I'm pre-med, probably not going to go to med school, but it's a possibility. Who knows where I'll end up? And
she says this so lightly while she's freaking out on the inside.
Exactly. Like, mind is racing, but
I can, like, see the fear on your face while you're like, yeah, okay.
Okay. voice is kind of shaking, you know, it's totally casual. But at this point, it's kind of like I'm not willing to spend my life or spend my time doing something I don't enjoy that I'm not passionate about just for a paycheck or just for the title of being a biomedical engineer. So in the end, I think my next brave move is overcoming my indecisiveness and fears of commitment to a major and pursuing what I want to do regardless of what other people may think of a certain path compared to the one I was once taking. And that's going to be a struggle in itself. But eventually, I think once I find what I really want to do and I can find myself getting excited about taking my courses like I once was, I will just feel so much happier. And that's kind of what's motivating me right now, is kind of like I talked about before, where what motivates me to be brave is that accomplishing feeling that you get, that rewarding feeling, and those happy thoughts that you get. And so right now, that's what I'm facing, and I know that there's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel eventually that I'll find, that I'll see. I'm still kind of in the dark right now, but it'll all get there. So yeah, that's my next step.
And you know, I have to say, I should really take my own advice right now, but you don't have to have it all figured out. Like, I know the expectation that at 18 you're going to go to the right college and pick the right major, and you're
it's
like
so crazy
set for the next 60 years. No.
I look back and I'm like, why in the world did I ever feel the need to have it all planned out, one, but two, to think that was actually going to work. Like, I had no idea what was out there and what was available to me. So,
and you still don't. Like, there's a whole world of opportunities that, and you know what? You're probably going to stumble into something and be like, I have no idea how I got here, but this is great.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm hoping for that now.
I can say, like, my little situation here is like a little similar to, I mean, my plan coming out of school was to drive down to my mom's house, live in North Carolina, work there for the summer, and go back up to school. I talked a little bit about like my experience at school is a little rough from the beginning, but at the end of the year I had a lot of really encouraging things happen, a lot of things that made me feel like I'd finally made the right decision with where I was going and I was moving forward, and drove 11 and a half hours of my 13-hour drive to my mom's house and decided I didn't want to go there anymore. So then I drove 18 and a half hours to Wausau with the help of my boyfriend, Blake, which, bless his soul, like, I literally would have killed him if it were the other way around.
Yeah.
A 13-hour drive turned into more of, like, a 36-hour process.
Oh, my gosh.
But, so I got here, and I was literally a mess. I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, I had my summer. I was supposed to be at my mom's. I had ideas of what I was going to do, and I decided to come here, and I was like, you know what, Autumn? You're going to relax. Like, you're going to take some time, and you're going to not have anything to do. And I think that's one of the scariest things for me is, like, having a schedule. And so this has really been, like, brave for me. Like, my sisters are like, Autumn, like, this is, like, a whole new you. Like, this is so weird to see you not have something planned. Like, I am so used to having, like, okay, like, the next week I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this, and this is how it's going to go. And I always have everything planned out. And so this has been, like, my brave adventure of, like, I came to Minnesota and I had no idea what I was going to do, and I literally just figured out a job for the next, like, month 2 days ago. And I took almost a full month of doing, like, little random things and just doing things that I wanted to do instead of what was expected of me, and not forcing myself to plan out my life because nothing ever goes as expected. And so I had to kind of let go of the fact that I don't have to plan everything out because I don't really choose how things work out necessarily. And so that's kind of been my thing, is just like allowing life to happen and not having anxiety about everything, every day, every second. And
teach me your ways.
I was gonna say, girl, good for you.
This has been like the most like, it's just weird. Like, it's so not me, but it is me.
Yeah.
Because like, I can do this, you know. And this has always been something that I was scared of, is like not having things planned out. And I think through the past couple of years and like the changes and transferring and, you know, going different places and thinking, okay, well, maybe this isn't like what I want, and realizing that it's okay, like that's okay that things didn't go exactly as it's supposed to, because I ended up where I wanted to be, and now that I'm here, I'm so glad I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I can't imagine being in North Carolina right now,
right,
and not having been able to spend a week with my niece and nephew, or, you know, like, seeing mm-hmm. my aunt and uncle and my cousins, or seeing people from high school, or being here to
yeah.
be able to, like, sit and talk with you guys. Like,
mm-hmm.
literally, it's just, it's been so affirming for me. Like, every single day, there's been something that's happened where it's like, see, Autumn, like, it's okay. Like, you did make the right choice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's okay to be scared and have a breakdown and say, okay, well, maybe I don't want to do what I thought I did. And,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and so that's kind of just, my summer is something brave, because I literally have no
yeah.
idea. Like, I have the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks of, I have a job, and
uh-huh.
then again, I have like an opening, and I will just kind of try and do whatever comes my way. And no, but this is it's so weird for me,
but it's
been like amazing.
I
like,
love.
It's such a growing experience,
like,
to just let go.
Ray, bow down.
I'm amazed, because I just had a conversation with my family. Like, I have no idea how to relax. I have a month between my classes ending and then teaching, when I start teaching again, and I'm like, what do I do?
How do I do this?
How do I fill my time? I don't know how to relax, and I have this voice in my head constantly like, you need to be doing something,
mm-hmm.
there should be
yeah.
work you're getting done. Like,
and that was me, and literally like the week before, can't
mm-hmm.
even keep them straight because I don't even know what I did. but I literally spent an entire day, I'm not kidding you, in bed. Like,
seriously?
I laid in bed. I don't watch movies.
Did you feel guilty about it?
I tried to feel guilty, and I wouldn't let myself, and I ate ice cream, and I just laid in bed and watched movies that I hadn't ever watched before, because I don't normally let myself watch movies, because
mm-hmm.
it's a waste of time. You
movies
know?
Are great.
That's what I'm saying. So I spent an entire day in bed, and it was like, I've never done that before. Like, in 21 years,
I've never done that.
Spent a day in bed. Like, unless I was, like, dying sick. And so
yeah,
I was like...
like, when I'm sick. But,
and
yeah.
I was so proud of myself. I was like, Autumn,
yeah.
you did that. Like,
you,
like, you just
nailed
relaxed.
It.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Can you imagine the people who would be sitting here looking at all this, like, you've never done that before?
Yeah. yeah.
How, what?
Like, by myself, spending an entire day doing nothing. And it was like... And then I went to bed, like, that night, and I woke up, and it was like... wow, like, I have so much motivation to, like,
yeah.
go do something that I want to do, not
mm-hmm.
something that I'm forced to do,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
like, because I just let myself relax and, like, have
that's
a day.
Awesome. I guilt myself on the days when I'm sick and
right.
everything.
Yeah.
And that was me normally, and so, like, seriously, it's been so refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, like, a whole new brave. It's, like, not doing something and not expecting
yeah.
myself to do something. So yeah,
girl,
it's been
so proud.
Yeah, the same.
So, I'm like proud of myself for this too.
I know,
and like
should be.
Yeah, so that's
your next
so I have
move.
No idea. So I don't know. And
you're
that's
your
brain
not knowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like this is some philosophical like
revelation.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here like, wow.
Wow.
I really need to reconsider my life right now. Like,
so quit your jobs.
Quit.
And don't know.
See, here's the perfect example of the differences right now.
Right.
So she's doing this, and I'm the one who's like, I have 4 jobs this summer. I actually, yesterday, my boss who just hired me, I handed over my availability, and she was expecting, you know, the month of June,
yeah.
rest of month of May, you know, not even the whole month of June. I handed her June, July, and August. And she's like, how did you do that? I went, I'm a very organized person. And she's like, what? And I was like, when you have 4 jobs, you're like me, and you just keep going, going, going.
Mm-hmm.
And so plan it all out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, different sides of braves.
Right.
And, like, the different sides of, like...
Right.
Still, you're still being brave no matter what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
you know? And as long as you put yourself in that mindset of, like, I am making the brave decision to...
Mm-hmm.
handle my life and make myself happy in these
mm-hmm.
different ways and taking care of myself, and
mm-hmm.
there you go.
It's See, I want people to understand that brave is just challenging yourself. Like, mm-hmm. that's a challenge for you. Just yeah. doing mm-hmm. nothing yeah. and not knowing is a challenge. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be hard and it's going to be scary and there's going to be a voice like, really? You should have this planned. You should.
Yeah.
But, like every day.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just.
And other people's voices, too.
Yeah. Not just your own.
Like, people are like, oh, so what's your job?
I don't know. Yeah. So that's what's your major? Either.
Right.
Don't have one.
And the like, judgment that yeah. you feel. And it might not even actually be there. It's just like feeling. Yeah. yeah.
Like, I feel you judging me for mm-hmm. this. And, like, literally just, like.
Just let it go.
Yeah.
Like, not your issue.
Let it go.
Clear.
Sorry. Let it go. I had to.
Don't hold it back anymore.
Yeah.
I'm glad you like that, Ellie.
Yeah.
No, seriously, though. Like, just letting go of, like, your own judgments and letting go of other people's judgments and mm-hmm. just doing you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo! Okay.
There's more questions?
Yeah. What, any last comments, last thoughts, questions that you have thought of that you want to know? Anything. Mm-hmm. This is your time. Take the open space.
I think one thing that I'll add that I didn't really mention before was, as we kind of just touched on this now, but, like, learning from other people's braves. Mm-hmm. I, at first, was like, oh, I'm going to write about my stuff, and then other people will write about theirs. I'll glimpse at it. You know, but I found myself thoroughly reading everyone else's blogs and going, yeah. wow. You know, mm-hmm. and just...
Bless you.
Thank you.
And just being amazed by the other things that people do and just, like, being, like, supportive. And, you know, there's something really cool about having a community of us brave ambassadors, mm-hmm. like, yeah, you go, like, I friended everyone on Facebook, now we always like each other's stuff, you know, like,
really?
All that stuff, yeah.
That makes me so happy.
Yeah. And it's just, like, you know, just that supporting other girls to be brave, and mm-hmm. realizing, as Demi Lovato says, like, I feel like we're quoting her today, and yeah. I'm all about it,
I just
but, like,
her,
yeah, but, you know, what's wrong with being confident, and,
yeah.
like, supporting, like, when other girls are talking about their brave experiences, instead of being like, oh my goodness, they're bragging, or oh my goodness, they're being so cocky, it's going, good for you for being, like, confident in that, and mm-hmm. Recognizing that, like, that's a really awesome thing. And so I think if I have, like, any last words to say is, like, listen to other people's stories, learn from them, support them, and then support yourself, you mm-hmm. know, and, like, realize that just because you're confident about something does not mean you're cocky or coming off in a bad way or selfish or anything. Those mm-hmm. are not dirty words.
Right,
like,
right.
They're good things to have. You have to have them in today's society. And so support each other and support yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I think touching on that, like, we have so much power. It's ridiculous. Like, mm-hmm. literally something I've thought about in my nothing time is just, like, we literally, like, people are like, oh, yeah, I'm going to change the world. Like, no, but, like, literally, you can. Like,
yeah.
we have so much power, and imagine if women supported each other mm-hmm. instead of going against each other, like,
yeah.
what we could do.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think that's something with, like, Demi Lovato that I really admire is, like, her ability to just be like, okay, like, these people might not like me, these, like, but, like, just... like, doing what she feels like
mm-hmm.
she needs to do in order to, like, get her voice heard.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just handling the pressure and the negativity that comes from other people, that's, like, really inspiring to me. But I think it's important for women to come together, and I think mm-hmm. opportunities like this is really helpful
mm-hmm.
just to be able to see, like, you know, the power that one person can have, like, imagine that times 7 billion.
Right.
Because
yeah.
there's so many people with so many different stories, and it's, like, everyone has different experiences and different backgrounds, and we each have our own unique things to bring forward, and
yeah.
so I think just, like, take a step back sometimes and, like, think about, you know, how I definitely, like, I can't say I don't judge people. Because
mm-hmm.
I think it's a very, like, natural thing,
mm-hmm. it's
especially
just a human trait.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it shouldn't be, though. Like,
yeah.
that's the thing. Like, I get so jealous of other people, and it's like, you need to stop and recognize, like, what do you have and what do you have to offer, and look mm-hmm. at those people and say, you know, they have this to offer, mm-hmm. but I have this too, and like coming together and being able to collaborate with other people and just like realizing that we have the ability to do anything that we want mm-hmm. to do, and if we can come together, like that's just
right.
an incredible opportunity to like use what mm-hmm. we have to actually do something and make a difference. And
right.
like, I just think girls need to recognize that, like, it's not about other people. It's
yeah.
about you and
mm-hmm.
being selfish or like loving yourself
mm-hmm.
and like doing the things that you want and being brave and all those little things. Like, you can do it. And
mm-hmm.
everyone, if we can empower other women to do the same thing, like, we can literally, we rule the world. No, but seriously, like, I think that it's so important for us to, like, let our guards down and, like,
mm-hmm.
allow ourselves to look at other people with, like, a more positive outlook and, like, you know, like, being able to read your stories. I've known you for so long and, like,
yeah.
but not knowing,
mm-hmm.
or, like, and then knowing you and, like,
mm-hmm.
there's so many different aspects of people's lives, and I think it's just important for us to let go of the things that we think are the truth and allow ourselves to really explore what is the truth. And
I think the difficulty of that, just that thought, comes from social media.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of what, especially millennials and our generation has to deal with is understanding that what we're seeing is a highlight reel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And it's not reality.
I love that you, like, how you put that, because it's so true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to post a picture of a day where I don't look pretty and have perfect hair. Like,
yeah, right,
you know,
right.
Like,
mm-hmm.
it's so true, and, like, I like that more people are coming out and admitting that and saying that. Like,
mm-hmm.
I just read this article. It was an interview with Shay Mitchell from Pretty Little Liars, and
yeah.
she straight up said that. She goes, "You're just seeing the best of my life.
Right.
You're not
mm-hmm.
seeing everything."
Right.
And so while she may have all these followers, she's not afraid to admit, I'm not perfect. You're just
mm-hmm.
seeing the good side of me,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that's
yeah.
a really good way of putting
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions? Anything else?
What are you doing?
Oh, boy.
What's your brave this summer?
My
right
brave
now?
This summer? Okay, well, I was just talking to Ellie about this, actually. I had one of my freak-out days yesterday
mm-hmm.
when I don't have everything planned out like I usually do. I have a year of grad school done, and I have one more to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 13 credits away from my master's, which is just this awesome feeling.
Yeah.
I know.
Wait,
so exciting.
13 credits?
Yeah, 13 credits.
I'm
almost
there. I'm like, wow.
Wait, isn't that a semester?
I have 3 classes in the fall, and then I'll be able to take 2 in the spring.
Yeah.
Which I'm just, is, thank you.
Yeah.
But, I'm already worried about what comes next and mm-hmm. trying to think about, plan that, because I don't want to come to graduation and be like, well, I've got my master's now, what am I going to do?
You're cool.
There does have to be some income there.
Mm-hmm.
So I am just trying to figure out what do I really want to do, and who, if anyone, who do I want to work for, and how I can use that training to ultimately work for myself, because that's the goal.
Yeah,
using my own voice and working with young women and doing social media research and talking about how
mm-hmm.
that affects us. So
mm-hmm.
My brave is trying to be calm and figuring it out one step at a time, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But the one step at a time thing comes easier when you have the next 6 steps.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, thank you so much for everything you both did this semester. It was, you made my life so easy. I got an email, I posted stuff, we go. But I have to say that I don't think you realize how far your words went and who it affected, because you don't always hear from the people that read it and are touched by it, but writing a blog does so much. I mean,
mm-hmm.
look at what it's done for you, it makes you reflect, but then you make a difference to people in just seeing that they're not the only ones going through it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's somebody who is talking about it and they can identify with and be like, I'm not alone, and it's
mm-hmm.
going to be okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to make
mm-hmm.
it through.
And
both of you... Yeah, it's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Both of you transferred to new places. Both of you challenged yourselves that way. You are accepting doing nothing and seeing that is okay, and you're learning to be okay with not being perfect. Like, there's so many different aspects of being brave that we need to embrace and see as brave, and I think girls need role models that aren't celebrities sometimes. They need girls who are just young women trying to figure it out, too. Mm-hmm. So thank you for being brave ambassadors, and I wish...
Oh,
yes. Really, though.
You are very welcome. But, I mean, you're both going to do incredible things. And don't stop writing, either of you, because you have some pretty incredible stories to share. So thank you very much.